one of the perplexing parts of the gospel. Ray, you are here this morning. You might want to talk to me about the sermon afterwards. I'll just book some time with you. There are, broadly speaking, two types of men. There are men who use their power and their strength for others. And then there are men who use their power and their strength for themselves and are even seeking to increase their power and their strength. Model A, model B. And there's a spectrum. To describe this in other language, not just men, but some people are selfish. Me, 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 me. The way we're born, screaming when we want something. And there are people who think of others, generous servants, supporters. It gets worse. There are men who use their strength and power for themselves. Now, they're obviously selfish. The sort of slick way of describing it is that they are emotional four-year-olds. But it gets worse if they use their strength and their power against people. To hurt, to damage, for their own ends. And the name we give to men, or possibly the old woman who is like this, is the tyrant. Tyrant. Now, just plugging into... how many people were interested in dinosaurs at one stage? Okay, it seems to be a little boy thing. It just sort of grows through. You were? Okay, so Tyrannosaurus Rex. T-Rex for older boys. And Tyrannosaurus Rex just means the king tyrant. The king of the tyrants. Real mean dude. Picks up on this. The bully, the tyrant, is the one who uses their strength to get what they want, to put others down, and that's just how they operate. That's life. And the total contrast, of course, is the one who uses their strength to serve, to be there for others. And a lot of what happens in society and in the world can be related to this. Not everything, but a lot. So, those of you who are at school, some of us never leave, but those who are at school, there might be a big, strong boy who hits out at others and makes everyone afraid, and most people just keep their distance. If that's not part of your world now, maybe it once was. Just keep clear of him. He's trouble. School's tyrants are usually small, but they get bigger. And then things get really bad. Tyrants always exist. And if we go really to the big end tyrants, the 20th century, you know, had big examples that everyone knows about. Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, Saddam Hussein, etc., etc. They got strength, they got power, and they used it to hurt others. Never ends well. So this morning, we met a tyrant in the gospel. That's not a real photo, by the way. That's something I found on Google, and it's actually from a film. That's King Herod in a film. But it's probably, it's research to look like him. I got to sit in his former palace a few months ago. He lived well. He had several palaces. He was a tyrant. So here's the thing. When little Jesus is born in his kingdom, it ain't safe. Because because there's a king who's a tyrant who wants to use his strength against anyone and everything that he doesn't like. Tyrants are dangerous, and Herod is a big tyrant. You might have tyrants going through your mind now, people you know who are strong or appear strong and use their strength in a certain way. One of the big causes of stress I know among adults is managers or bosses who play the tyrant. I just noticed pastorally cause so much pain and stress. It's alive and well. This morning's passage, Matthew gives a contrast between two people. I don't think he sets out to do this, but this is how I read it. Herod and Joseph. Two types of men. The tyrant and, well, I call him the good man. Joseph and Herod are both characters in the Nativity story. They're both part of the Christmas story. And they're so different because they reflect this difference. And then there's more, because there's something part of this difference that's very relevant to us. A good person will respond well to God, because it's not all about them. The good, humble person, man or woman, is prepared to recognize and accept that there is someone greater. My higher power, in terms of Alcoholics Anonymous. The big-time tyrant can't acknowledge anyone greater. And that's when they get really, really dangerous. And as I said, there's a spectrum. And in Joseph and Herod, we see a big part of that spectrum. Joseph in this story acknowledges God. He seeks God. His behavior and what he does is shaped by what he understands God is saying to him. Herod, me, more power, me. So some background. By the time we hear the story in Luke and Matthew chapter 2, we have been told of four occasions where Joseph received God's guidance. Four times already by a dream. And anyone who's receiving God's guidance, able to recognize that and then follow through on it, that's no accident. Most things are like muscles. You exercise it, it grows. The first time he received God's guidance, we are told about, was a biggie. The woman he wanted to marry was already expecting. The rule book says, it's all over. But his sense of God's leading in a dream was, no, take her as your wife, it's okay. That's where he started. So having found the courage and the conviction to obey God, this muscle, he was now in a better place to hear that same voice the next time. And this would become very, very important in the coming months. Joseph's really an unsung hero in this. He's had his own walk with God, and it's so crucial at this time. So why might Joseph have been able to hear God and obey? I don't know, really. But I ask the question. I think that somewhere in his life, Joseph had made a basic decision. He'd made a decision that he was going to seek God and follow through on that. he was going to consider God in all he did. And being born a Jew in the sort of social strata and time that he was, that's not that unusual. He resolved that his life was to be lived in such a way that it served God's reign. Because as Oliver got us to shout this morning, God is king. Now, anyone who says God is king is implicitly saying, I am not king. So he wanted to have God as his king and to live accordingly. And that is a truly radical commitment. And in the world today, there are a few regimes, and China is the outstanding example, where, as it were, space to say that is being squeezed. Because someone else wants to be king. But back to Joseph. He had made that decision. And circumstances would soon arise that required him to follow through on that policy of serving God as king. Moments where he actually had a sense of what God was saying, what God's desire was for him. On the other hand, we see Herod. Now, Herod had been on the throne for 36 years. And he was thus a very able ruler. 36 years without a piece of steel between his ribs, or without being put in prison and left to rot. 36 years of continuity. In the ancient world, very, very impressive. This man had ability. And he was famous for his building programs. All over that part of the world, Herod built this, Herod built that, Herod had this built. He was an achiever. Very impressive. He even had the Jerusalem temple beautified. When Jesus and his disciples came to Jerusalem and they marveled at it, it was Herod's work. He'd done this, or at least been the driving force behind it. Famine relief work, he was big. Some people might think that's quite impressive. Building, famine relief, stability, what more could you want? He even retained favor with Rome. Now, this required great political skill and top-level diplomacy, because at one occasion he backed the losing party. And he managed to still get support with the winning party. So Herod has got a lot going for him. But I suggest he too had made a fundamental decision and commitment, as I've already hinted at. His commitment was to retain power at all costs. He was king of the Jews, that's not the best title. He was king in Israel at the pleasure of the Romans over a Jewish population without himself being Jewish. And that was part of the reason he was so unpopular. And he had actually progressed because of this ruthless policy of retaining power at all costs. At times, it became absolutely paranoid. It led him to kill his wife and 3 sons. That's extreme. To the point where the Emperor Augustus is famously known to have remarked that he would rather have been Herod's pig than his son. That's Herod. So in that CV, as it were, or in that profile, it's not surprising that at one point he ordered to have all the male children in Bethlehem killed. It fits totally in character. And it may have only been a dozen or so children, but historically, so just a little blip in the career of a tyrant in those days. But the very life of God and the very presence of God and his plan for redemption could have been snuffed out. It says a lot about the risk of the incarnation in the context of tyranny. Joseph was open to God's leading and had the will and the courage to obey because he had decided to put God first as the guiding light of his life. Tyrants can be religious. Even if they ignore God, usually they go down a dark alley into something occultish or bad like that. But it's still about their power. But God used Joseph to protect and care for Jesus and Mary because he could rely on him and lead him and guide him. Over the 36 years of Herod's reign, the eyes of his conscience and the ears of his heart became really hard, to the point where he could order infanticide, the killing of children. And perhaps without ever intending to, he became an enemy of God. Without perhaps ever having decided, simply his decision to maintain his own power at all costs made him an enemy of God. So the sobering lesson is that any allegiance or commitment that is not with and for God, here it comes, will ultimately turn against God. There is no middle ground. The commitment to retain one's own power will eventually turn against God. It's progressive. So, Herod didn't become a monster overnight, just as Joseph didn't learn to hear and respond to God in one day. It took Joseph time, faithful commitment, and the courage and the will to obey. Unless, here it comes, unless we too move and grow in such a direction of obedient response to God, we tend to drift to being concerned and if not focused on our own power. Unless we really decide the way of the servant and to be there for God's glory, we will drift towards seeking our own glory. And it even happens in churches spectacularly. It may be continental drift, a few millimeters a year, but its direction will be noticeable. So that's what I wanted to draw out of this passage this morning. Just that simple study of two men, Joseph and Herod. We had another baby born in the church last night. If you're on the mail list, little Owen to Joanna and Shengoma, or Evans. And as with every baby, what a bundle of potential. This little person, potential. Which way is he going to go? Huge question, isn't it? Which way is he going to go? It's the question that's asked at every birth. And you can ask the question of yourself, which way am I going? I might be 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, whatever years into this process. But you're always at a point of decision. Am I here to use what I have and who I am in the service of God and others? Or am I actually about me? Or am I somewhere in between? Depends on the weather, what I had for breakfast, or how I feel at that moment. It's just a big question. It never goes away. Every situation offers. But the thing that I've said is that it is a muscle. Muscles have memory. And if our tendency is to serve, that becomes character, becomes ingrained, it becomes normal, natural. If our tendency is actually about us, it will just grow in that direction. So, for the new year, which is that far away, if you're into resolutions, it's a good time to pray. There's a meeting on New Year's Eve here. It's a good time to pray. Not only just take stock and do the accountant's thing of, you know, what happened last year, but to resolve to soften hearts towards God and to respond in obedience at every opportunity. And I guarantee you, if you plug into this and say, Lord, I want to serve you, give me a chance. Let me have some sort of, how would you put it, Joseph moment. That somewhere a few days or weeks into the new year, probably at the most inconvenient moment, always inconvenient, you know, there'll be a knowing that you could do, this is an opportunity for service. Now's a moment. You can respond to me now. Don't have to. I think Joseph was on that sort of trajectory all his life. So we can resolve to be like Joseph in this world and not like Herod. Use our strengths and talents to seek and serve God rather than our own selfish agendas. To be tyrant free. Amen? Amen. Shall we have a word of prayer? I don't have a prayer surfacing in my heart, but some others may. And you just may want to catch what God is saying to you in this reflection on Joseph and Herod.